warm eastern Iowa, Clinton, Iowa, welcome to Paul Ryan.
Hey, thanks a lot, Brian. That's great. Wow, thank you, Brian. Everybody, I just want to introduce my son Charlie, daughter Liza, son Sam, and you know my wife Jana. Say hi, guys. I won't make you stand the whole time. You guys can sit. Now, you know, please have a seat. First off, it's really nice to be here in Clinton. This is a great homecoming. I brought not only my own family, but we brought some of our extended family as well. We brought our Jana's sister Dana, Jana's sister Molly, her uncle Paul Peterson, who grew up here. Jana's mom was born and raised here in Clinton, Prudence. Jana's grandmother, Adelaide Peterson, lived here most of her adult life. She grew up in New Hampton, and she was first cousins with this guy named Norman Borlaug. That has always been bragging rights in our family, because that is one man who we are so proud about. We have Senator Alan Borlaug and his wife, Lou Ann, with us as well, so it's great to have extended family with us today. Senator Borlaug, thanks so much for being here with us. It's really nice to have you, and thanks for being on the road with us. You got a great governor, Terry Branstad. He's done a lot. He's been very good for Iowa. Imagine how much better things could be if we fixed the mess in Washington. Now, if you take a look at where we are, this is a huge choice. We are not just picking the next president for the next 4 years. We are picking what kind of country we're going to be, what kind of people we're going to be for an entire generation. That's the stakes in this election. That's why we're here to talk. We cannot afford 4 more years like the last 4 years. We need real reforms to get this economy in gear, to get people back to work, to get the country back on the right track. And the way we do that is we elect Mitt Romney the next president of the United States. Look, our goal is to earn your support. We want to deserve this victory so that we have the mandate and the moral authority to make things right, to run at our country's problems and fix them instead of running away from the problems and blaming other people. You got to understand, President Obama, he inherited a tough situation when he came into office. Absolutely. Problem is, he didn't fix any of these problems. We're worse off. The Obama economic agenda failed not because it was stopped. It failed because it was passed. Let's not forget that. He came in Congress with one-party rule. He was able to pass all of the things of his choosing, and that's what he did. Now, look at where we are now. We've had unemployment above 8% for 43 months in a row. He said if he passed his stimulus plan, if we borrow all this money, spend it on all these different groups and friends in Washington, unemployment would never even get to 8%. That our economy would be growing at 4% right now. It's been above 8% ever since, and our economy is limping along in this country at 1.3%. We have offered very specific pro-growth solutions to get our economy in gear. We can have a dynamic pro-growth economy that fosters independence and opportunity versus a stagnant economy that fosters dependency. That's the clear choice in this race. Do we want stagnation or growth? Do we want dependency or opportunity and upward mobility? The difference will be settled in this election. Now, when you take a look at all the different policies and you take a look at the choice we have, think about it this way. The other day on TV, President Obama said that he can't change Washington from the inside. Isn't that why we elect presidents? If this president can't change Washington, then we need to change presidents. And the man for this moment is a leader, Mitt Romney. Now, why do I say this? Look at this man's life. Look at what Mitt has accomplished. His family life, his business life, his political life as a governor of a Republican of a Democratic state reaching across the aisle solving problems. This man is a successful businessman who helped create tens of thousands of jobs. And by the way, being successful in business, that's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. We want more people to become successful. We have a jobs crisis in America. Wouldn't it be nice to have a job creator in the White House? We can't afford four more years. We need a real recovery. Take a look at just jobs. We lost 582,000 manufacturing jobs since the president took office. He's offering a new tax increase on our job creators that will cost us 700,000 jobs. We're offering real reforms, five-point plan. We've got a lot of energy in this country, in this state. Let's use it. Let's use the energy in our country and state. That puts people back to work, that lowers costs, that makes it cheaper to heat our homes, for our electricity bills, for our gas, and it puts manufacturers back to work. We got people in between jobs. They need skills. We got to make it so that people who are stuck in a rut, who are not having opportunity, they can go back to school, get the skills, get the career they need. We've got to be able to grow more food in this country, make more things in this country, open up markets and sell them overseas so we can create good jobs right here at home. And never forget, we need to champion small businesses. That's where most of our jobs come from. And so when the president says, you didn't build that, when the president says, you need to pay higher taxes, when he says, listen to us in Washington, we're going to give you new regulation after regulation, which drowns you in red tape, what he is saying is, we're just going to have a bunch of big businesses working with a big government, and we'll decide how this economy works. Friends, if all this borrowing and all this taxing and all this money printing and all this regulating worked, we would be entering a golden age along with Greece. It doesn't work. Take a look at debt. And that's what I want to get into. This is the biggest threat to our economy today. We have a debt crisis on our horizon. We know this. Let me put it this way. I remember 2008 like it was yesterday. I remember sitting in all these meetings with our Federal Reserve Chairman and the Treasury Secretary, panicking about a Great Depression right on our doorstep. That one, you know, kind of caught us by surprise. A lot of people lost their jobs. A lot of people lost their savings. Think about it this way. What if before that crash that triggered that recession in 2008 happened, what if your president or your congressman or your senator knew it was going to happen? What if they saw it coming? What if they knew why it was going to happen exactly? What if they knew approximately when it was going to happen? And what if they knew what to do to prevent it from happening and they had the time to prevent it? But they decided, you know what? It might hurt my reelection. It's not good politics, so I'm not going to bother. What would you think of the person? That's exactly where we are today. This debt crisis is the most predictable economic crisis we have ever had. And the president has not done a single thing to prevent it. In fact, he is spending us closer toward a debt crisis. We cannot afford four more years like the last 4 years. So let's have a town hall meeting. I know some of you, I know most of you can see this over here. I know some of you might have to turn your head and I'll visualize it. Or I'll spell it out for the people here in this corner. We've had debt in this country before. We've always had debt. People have debt. People have mortgages. And just like your mortgage, the amount of debt you carry can be carried if it's small enough relative to your income. You don't buy more house than you can afford. You don't take on a mortgage payment that you can't afford based on your income. That's how it works for countries as well. Well, look. I see some veterans here in this audience. I see a Vietnam veteran over there. I saw a Navy man over here. I've got to think there's some Air Force, Army, and Marines, and I see some World War II vets. Thank you for what you've done for our country. Thank you for your sacrifice. Any World War II vets here? I didn't want to presume, sir. Look at the top of this chart. It looks like kind of a mountain range. World War II is when our debt was as high as our economy. That means for every dollar made in America, we borrowed a dollar. But we did it to fight and win a world war. And we can absorb that kind of debt so long as it's temporary, so long as we know it's finite, so long as we know it's for a certain cause and then it's going to stop. And that's what we did. And back in those days, we basically lent ourselves our money. Americans bought war bonds to lend money to their government to go fight the war. And it worked. And so we had that kind of debt then. And then our debt more or less stabilized. This is what the Congressional Budget Office is telling us our debt is going to become in the very near future. Our debt is getting so big, so fast, that it's going to surpass these debt levels that they have in Europe. By the time my three kids right here are my age, we're going to borrow more than $2, about $2.50 for every dollar that's made in America. The economy literally crashes at that time. The government can't even project the economy going forward after that because they don't think the economy can survive that mountain of debt. This is right in front of us. We have to do something about this. And so when you take a look at our debt, like I said, we used to just lend it to ourselves. It wasn't so bad. It's what the Japanese do. They buy their own debt. We don't do that. You know, back in 1970, our debt was $283 billion. 6% of our debt was owned by foreigners, by foreign governments, meaning all the rest, Americans bought treasury bills and lent their money to their government. Well, look at 1990. In 1990, our debt was $2.4 trillion, getting pretty big. 19% of our public debt, the treasury bills that we auction, was owned by foreigners. Look at where we are now. Our public debt, the amount of money we float in bonds, not even the money that we owe Social Security, this is the money that we just owe bondholders. 48% of our debt is owned by foreign governments. China, number one. Here's what this means. For every dollar the government spends today, 36 cents of that dollar is being borrowed, and about half of that from countries like China. This means we have to rely on foreign governments to lend us their money to finance our government. We can't keep doing this. We have to put this to an end. We have to stop this because we lose our sovereignty and our independence and our ability to chart our own future, let alone leaving a better future for our children and our grandchildren. We have a moral obligation to do something about this. Now, we have a great story about Manny. Manny is what we affectionately call Adelaide Peterson, Jana's grandmother. And my sister-in-law, Dana, was here visiting Manny one day in Clinton, and they went up to New Hampton to visit some other relatives. And Dana had this little dog, kind of looked like Toto in The Wizard of Oz, and she had dog food, and she left a little bowl of dog food on the kitchen floor of her great aunt in New Hampton. And then they drove back to Clinton, and then Dana went on her way, and 6 months later, when she met Manny at the airplane for Christmas, Manny came off the airplane with a Ziploc bag full of that dog food. She had driven it from New Hampton to Clinton and put it in the freezer so she could save those two cups of dog food to give them to her granddaughter. That is Iowa frugal. That is making sure you live within your means. That is saving. You see, we have a culture here in the Midwest that says you live within your means, you save, you don't waste, and you make sure that you leave your children and your grandchildren better off. That's the legacy in this country, and if we stick down this path, we will sever that legacy. Look at our current debt. Let's break it out per person. When Barack Obama came into office, and like I said, he inherited a mess. Both political parties have responsibility for creating the mess we are in. Let's not forget that. Republicans and Democrats both helped lead us to where we are. Our debt per person was $36,000 when the president came in. It's $51,000 now. That's a 45% increase in our share, everyone's share, every man, woman, and child's share of debt in this country. It's unacceptable. We've got to do something about this. And so when you take a look at the fact that President Obama racked up $5 trillion in debt in just his first 4 years, the fastest increase of any president, almost as much as all prior presidents combined, we have got to go in a different direction. We can't afford 4 more years like the last 4 years. Mitt and I are going to take on this challenge. We're going to confront this debt crisis. We're going to fix this problem. And the sooner we do it, the more we can do it on our own terms as a country. We need to grow the economy and get people back to work. We need to cut wasteful Washington spending, and we need to reform these programs that are going into debt without harming those people who are already benefiting from those programs. If you get ahead of this problem, you do that. If you kick the can down the road like they do in Europe, then everybody gets hurt. That's the key message here. Let's get ahead of our problems. Let's fix this. If we don't tackle these problems soon, they will tackle us as a country. Now, with that, I want to open it up and let's just have a conversation. Let's have a town hall meeting, and I just want to take your questions, take your suggestions or whatnot. So why don't we stay with this lady here? Now, they're going to have some microphone people running around.